This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Back here on WEEI. You can tell Jackson's producing when every time we have a rejoin, I just want to like bang my head. Like, yeah, you can tell.
Damn right. I'll give myself a little plug there. That's my old band.
Really?
Yeah.
What are they called?
Truman Highway. Go check it out on YouTube.
Okay. All right. Should have called them the Jackson 5.
Are you guys on Spotify? Taken.
I don't think so.
No?
No, we iTunes? Broke up before Spotify was a thing.
YouTube?
Why yeah,
did
YouTube.
You guys break yep. up? Was there like a Yoko Ono situation?
Yeah, well, there was a, yeah. There was. I left on a plane from Fayetteville, North Carolina in the middle of the night.
Okay. Oh, well, now this is a story we might have to get into
yeah,
later.
We can do that.
I'm kind of.
Probably not today, though.
Yeah, like I need Seth Wickersham to investigate this story. Give me a long article on ESPN.
It's a little busy today.
If the Pats weren't in playoff right now, then we'd
this
talk
is good.
About it.
This, we can keep that in our back pocket. But Patriots, Chargers today. We talked about, you know, what's your disappointment level if they lose, what's your excitement level if they win, which I know is kind of obvious, but I think it's in the context of where they're at in their rebuild is interesting. But I want to dive into this game itself because the Chargers are a team. Yes, the Patriots played them last year. Chargers won 40-7. This is a much different Chargers team, I think, but I think it's a much, much different Patriots team as well. So I'm just going to go to you guys. When you look at this game, what stands out? Like, what's your, hey, Chargers are going to win. This is going to happen. Patriots are going to win. This is going to. What's your keys here or top thing in this game?
It's a chalk answer, but I go to the quarterbacks. I think that's what this comes down to, Justin Herbert and Drake May. Also, the running backs as well. I think running the football, obviously cliche in NFL playoffs, but it's such an important aspect of it. So I look at the quarterbacks and the running backs. I know it's a simple answer, but it really does come down to that.
And, you know, my thing here is if that front seven for the Patriots that has struggled the last seven games can come out and actually be healthy and play well, it's going to change everything for this game. And we saw a little preview of it last week. Milton Williams comes back. They allow 63 yards rushing. Over the six games before that where he was out, it was over 100 every game. And when him and Spillane were both out, I think it was like 160, 170, 164. It was like crazy. So now Omarion Hampton's been banged up. So you're not dealing with LA's best offensive weapon in the run game. And you have two guys that are finally, in theory, healthy. So if you can get back to 80% of what you were the first 10 weeks of the year in that run defense, I think that's going to be massive for the Patriots, especially today, tonight at Gillette, when the Chargers are so good at time of possession and the running game is so important in that facet of the game. If you can kind of stifle that for them and have May being the one that dictates time of possession, you're going to be in a really good position to get to the next round.
And Tom, I agree with you. And I know, Terp, you mentioned the quarterbacks, and I know they're the headliners. But to me, this game is all about the Chargers' offensive line. And I know it's not the sexy topic. I get it. But this is one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL. And it is, I think, the worst pass-blocking offensive line in the NFL. And Tom, you mentioned it. Milton Williams comes back last week. You think they'll Landry, Spillane, they'll have them back tonight. And look, Herbert, according, and this is a PFF stat, but 263 dropbacks under pressure, which was the most in the NFL. And don't forget, guys, he didn't even play the last game. So that's in 16 games. And Chargers used over 25 different offensive line combinations. I've seen different numbers. One site said they used 29, another said 26. But they've used a bunch of different offensive line combinations. They're without their two starting offensive tackles. And another piece of, like, Herbert set a career high in rushing yards, 498, but a lot of that was him running for his life. I mean, 17% of the Chargers' dropbacks this year ended in either a sack or a scramble. 17%. So we're talking about an offensive line that is horrible pass blocking. a little bit better run blocking, but not very good. If the Patriots' defensive line can get after it, I don't see how the Chargers score more than 17 points.
I think this is why you pay Milton Williams. This is why you go out and get a guy like him to wreck these type of games, to make Justin Herbert uncomfortable, to clog up their run game. Like, this is why you go out and do it. And Tom, you just mentioned the stats. Like, that's why he's been so important to them. Like, when he was at the beginning of the year, they were one of the best run defenses in the league. Like, they were held, what was it, under 60 yards? Was that the number?
Yeah, it was like they were under 50 yards.
I have the specific 50. Numbers here. Yeah.
It was under 50 or 60
like for 9 weeks.
Yeah.
For the first 10 weeks of the year, they averaged 79.2 rushing yards allowed per game. Over the last seven, it was 133.85.
Yeah. And
that's
I don't think it's significant. Where, you know, weeks 10 through 18, they allow 4.7 yards per carry. And I got Milton Williams gets hurt in week 11, and then he's out all the way until 18. Like, to me, that's not a coincidence. And we saw Derrick Henry in that Sunday night game. It's still inexplicable to me why they pulled him with 12 minutes to go.
It might have cost Harbaugh his job, too.
He was averaging 7 yards a carry. 7 yards a carry. Like, that's where the Patriots' run defense is at, without Milton Williams, obviously without Spillane as well. You get these guys back, I think they can bottle up the run game enough. But to me, it's all about Herbert's going to have to throw the ball for them to win, and that's where I think the Patriots up front are going to have a real advantage.
So I know there's been some conversation this week about the Chargers secondary and how they're, depending on what numbers you look at, they're either really good or really bad. Like, they're bad against the deep ball, but they're good against certain other aspects of the game. So I
fifth
wanted
in
to,
the league in pass yards
per game. Well,
that's
what
game,
I wanted to throw by you, John, is like, what aspect of the game for the Chargers secondary should Patriots fans actually be focused on here as it relates to this matchup?
What fascinates me about the Chargers secondary is the amount of zone they play. Like, some estimate, I think it's like 83% of the time they play zone, which is crazy in the NFL to play that much zone coverage. And May has been good against zone, but it got Stephon Diggs especially and Hunter Henry, I think, are real, because veteran guys, they understand how coverages look. So are the Chargers going to come out and try to play more man coverage? Like, if I want to beat the Patriots, if I'm another team, I man up, see if those guys, because I know Stephon Diggs can probably beat a decent amount of man coverage, but he's still a little older. Can those other guys beat man coverage? And I get after May. And I wonder, will that, because the Chargers so far this year have not done that. Will they do it tonight? That's one of the closest things I'm watching, to be honest with you, Tom. It's a great question.
Yeah, I'm with you, John. I look at Stephon Diggs and the tight ends as well. Like, this just reeks of slot receivers and tight ends for me with this matchup. And if they do play the zone, I mean, I like that for Drake May. I like that for Josh McDaniels. Like you said, they've been a good team against zone this year, and it feels like they'd have to get away from that a little bit in this game.
So for years, Josh McDaniels' offenses have eaten against zone coverage, right? Like, you talk about those Pittsburgh teams for years that had all this talent on offense, but Tom Brady just picked them apart because they refused to play anything but zone defense. So that does look like a feather in the Patriots' cap going into Sunday night, is if the Chargers are going to continue to play zone defense and you have a guy like May who is incredibly locked in right now, working with an offensive coordinator that knows how to slice and dice zone defense, that should have you feeling a lot better about New England than maybe you already did, on top of the fact that they have their best defensive tackle and best linebacker healthy and in the mix. So if you can control the pace on defense and really control the pace on offense through that dicing of the zone coverage, you should win this game decisively. And again, you go back to talking about how banged up the Chargers are with that offensive line and how much Herbert has had to run for his life because of it. Like, everything ingredients wise should lead to a 14 win Patriots team taking care of business, old school tomato can way that they have in the past. The only difference here is that those tomato cans never had Justin Herbert. So if he can somehow put the Superman cape on the way that all of the football nerds continue to tell us that he's capable of, then it's just going to be that type of game. But all of the other ingredients say that this Chargers team should not be able to compete with you.
What I'm interested too is the red zone, where the Patriots have, as we know, one of the worst red zone defenses in the NFL. Chargers are 29th in red zone offense, so like, something's got to give one way or the other, because if the Chargers come into this and they're kicking field goals, then I think they're going to be in trouble. Because I look at the Chargers tonight, and especially because, again, that offensive line has just struggled so much. I think the Chargers are going to have to hit one or two big plays, like, you know, 40, 35-yard type passing plays in order to get the ball moving, probably one of them for a touchdown to put points on the board. I don't know if I see the Chargers moving all the way down the field, getting into the red zone and scoring and doing it enough time to beat the Patriots. But again, that Patriots red zone defense been one of the worst in the league this year.
Speaking of the defense, I also look at the slow starts as well. There's a problem for what, 75-80% of the season.
And I'm sorry to cut you off, but I think there's two things that in the back of your mind, or you worry, are they going to come back to bite you? One of them is that, and the other one is the last time Drake May had a bad game for 60 minutes was week one. Like, at some point that might happen again. Like, he wasn't good in the first half against Cincinnati. He's had a couple other moments where he struggled. But the only time he's had a truly bad 60-minute game was all the way back in week one. Is that, or the early defensive scores? Like, that's in the back of my mind if you're like, hey, if the Chargers pull the upset, I feel like one or both of those things is going to come into play.
And that's to that point. It's like, are they good enough to win in spite of that? Is the defense good enough to keep them in this game? And can they get the run game going enough? Because I think we can agree that the run game has looked the best it's looked all year towards the end of the season here. And you can't overstate the importance of that. We talked about it earlier, just how important it is to not have that level of unpredictability, to be able to run the football as you get close to the postseason. Like, Ramondre Stevens has looked the best he's looked possibly in his career the last couple of weeks here. Travion Henderson obviously getting going as well. So I think having that level of unpredictability is so important, especially when you get into the postseason, that, you know, if they can run the ball the way they have in recent weeks, I think they could win in spite of a bad May game, depending on how bad it is, of course, right? Because, like, obviously you need the quarterbacks to show out, but I think their run game has been good enough where they can continue to do that. I think they are kind of proof in that department.
I think outside of Drake May, Ramondre Stevenson has been this team's offensive MVP the last month and a half of this
no
year.
Doubt.
He's been
this is the best he's
unreal.
Looked late in a year since his rookie season.
He's healthy.
100%. Yeah. If you remember, what year was it, John? 2021, where they just ran him into the ground?
Yeah, where the 22? Cincinnati game, he tried to come out of the game and they had no one else, and then
right.
he fumbled.
Like, yeah, fumbled within the five, right? Yeah.
So you can understand why that guy was breaking down towards the end of seasons, because he was like,
I think he had 69 catches that year, too,
crazy.
On top of running for 1,000 yards.
He was
yards.
Their only weapon.
Yeah.
And then he had issues with fumbling, and he's dealt with some stuff off the field family-wise. It's been like a tough run for him. So for him to kind of deal with that adversity, keep his head down, and just work, it's one of the best stories on this team for this year. And yeah, I think that the fact that Travion has rounded into form in concert with Ramondre sort of figuring it out and becoming that dude again, you got to feel really good about that facet of the game helping Drake May avoid having those bad games. You know, when you have a solid run game the way that they have, and you have a guy, both of those guys that can be safety valves for May catching the ball out of the backfield, it's massive for your team when you're trying to make a playoff run.
We're going to get more into this preview here, because there's a few things that we haven't even got to yet that I think are going to impact this game. But before we do any of that, it is time to trend with Tom Carroll.
ESPN's Adam Schefter joins WEEI Afternoons every Wednesday at 3:45. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Playoff football returns to Gillette Stadium tonight at 8 o'clock as the 2-seed Patriots host the 7-seed Chargers on NBC. The Patriots are currently a 3.5-point favorite, sitting on the money line at minus 200. Tune in before kickoff to WEEI Football Sunday with Arkan Shime and Mego starting at 4:30. We'll be talking about it all morning. Alex Bregman is reportedly signing with the Chicago Cubs. 5 years, $175 million per ESPN's Jeff Passan. NFL scoreboard from Saturday, Rams escaped an upset down in Carolina, beating the Panthers 34-31. Packers blew a 21-3 halftime lead. Bears pull off the comeback win, 31-27. Three games on the NFL slate today. Bills at Jaguars kickoff at 1 p.m. Westwood One's coverage for that game gets underway right here on WEEI starting at 12:30. The 49ers are on the road in Philly. That one kicks off on Fox starting at 4:30. A busy day at TD Garden on Saturday. Bruins beat down the Rangers 10-2. Husnadinov had 4 goals. Zaka had 3, giving the Bruins their first double hat trick since 1964. David Pastrnak had 6 assists. Celtics weren't able to hold off Wembanyama and the Spurs. San Antonio beat down Boston 195. B's back in action today at the Garden today at 5 o'clock against the Penguins. C's back in action tomorrow night in Indiana. Tip-off set for 7:30. I'm Tom Carroll, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Back here on WEEI. Patriots-Chargers playoff game. We did start the show talking about Alex Bregman signing with the Chicago Cubs. We are going to get back to that later. Just one other piece of news here. $175 million contract that Bregman signed. $70 million, guys, deferred, according to Ken Rosenthal. So, pretty affordable deal.
Cool.
If you're the Chicago Cubs. We are going to get into that more later. But if you want to get angry about something today on playoff football day, well, there you go. Something to get angry about. Who knows? Maybe they'll sign Bo Bichette during our show.
Nope.
No, I'm just kidding. See, that was the beginning of my call.
3 out of 10 chance.
3 out of 10. I'm with you. 3 out of 10. Tom's at a 1 out of 10.
It needs to happen,
but
it
won't happen. All us, we're a 7 out of 10.
Like, which still probably isn't good enough.
Yeah, we're still there.
The reality is Bregman should have been a 9 or a 10. Especially easily. In the wake of the Devers trade, that should have been higher than it was, but I think everyone was kind of split. It was probably closer to a 5. It was 50-50.
Terp, we can go back. Like, Mookie Betts should have been a 10.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we can go back. We could start there.
The fact that it's happened multiple times is just ridiculous.
Xander Bogaerts should have been like a 7 or 8. Like,
yeah.
Come on.
But it's just gross.
Anyways, we will get back to that, folks, I promise. John Lyons here with Justin Turpin and Tom Carroll. Special edition Sunday morning show. Usually around this time, you'll be hearing WEEI's Football Sunday. That's going to be at 4:30 today, 4:30 to 8, getting you ready for the Patriots-Chargers game tonight at 8 on NBC. And guys, you talked a little bit about the key match. Like, for me, the offensive line of the Chargers, that's what I'm watching the most, and how much zone defense the Chargers play against the Patriots. Terp, obviously you have your eyes closely on the quarterbacks as well. Do you guys put any stock into, though, Chargers are a dome team? And I know people are like, oh, the sides are open. They're a dome team. There's a roof on the place. Going from the West Coast to the East Coast, a lot of times, and you can look up at the historical numbers, that's a big advantage for the East Coast team. Do we feel that same way tonight?
I probably would. Yeah, I think that does play a factor into, especially when you're playing California. Like, yeah, that definitely plays in. I would be curious to see somebody probably has these, the Justin Herbert's numbers in the cold weather.
And like, he did play at Oregon in college, which is not...
It rains a lot.
It's not good weather. Like, yes. It's not exactly the same as here, but it's not good weather either. And so
I think the time difference is kind of key. I think that's why they ended up playing on Sunday Night Football, because of the time. And I know maybe they probably didn't earn that. It's like, oh, like, they should just play when they play. But I'd imagine the NFL is trying to limit any of those variables that they can control. They're trying to limit. So I think that played into them playing at 8 o'clock.
Maybe.
Because, I mean, I think people were might have been a little surprised by the time slot the Patriots got.
Yeah, I think
8 o'clock.
I thought they were going to get earlier in the
season. So did I.
The way that the playoffs shook out, though, it was like, who were truly the marquee guys? Yeah. So
like last night's Bears Packers, that's marquee.
So that you could have made the argument that should have been the Sunday night game just based on that rivalry and what that is in Chicago being the market that it is, right? But outside of that matchup, like, what screams out Sunday night football?
Yeah. The only other matchup that I would say would scream out would be 49ers Eagles, but that got that 4 p.m.
And
slot
both of
anyway.
Those teams are just in weird spots,
exactly.
Right? Like, the Eagles are kind of the walking dead. The Niners are banged up. They're having a miraculous season based on the way that things have gone with injuries. But they're still not the Niners of 2 years ago, 3 years ago, right? Going back to the weather thing, I agree with you that a West Coast team coming to the East in this time of year, in this climate, should matter. But has anyone else gone outside today? It's not that bad out.
Yeah. And it's going to be in the 30s around kickoff time.
Yeah,
still,
so I'm looking at it now. It looks like it's going to be 33 degrees, no precipitation. And it doesn't appear to be windy either. It looks like it's going to start to get windy after midnight. So, and like, look, I know Foxborough's always windier. Like, where, however that stadium is situated, it is always windy as hell down there. Like, when I'm down there for practice, it just, I always just assume it feels 10 degrees cooler because the wind is insane. With that said, I don't think that the weather is going to be a true factor tonight. I just don't.
And the other thing I would so for example, next week, if they play Jacksonville at home, the weather is not going to be an advantage because that's a Florida team, but they play like a Northeast team. And we'll get into that if they play them next week. The Chargers, it is Harbaugh. They do play tough brand of football, but I don't know if they play like a team fully built to go outside of the Northeast and just be, not that they can't win, but like, just be fine with the weather conditions. Like, I think Jacksonville could come up here next week or Houston could come here, and the weather conditions really wouldn't bother them very much. Whereas the Chargers, it's not going to be like the Colts back in the day, but I do think it bothers them to an extent at least.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how it can. Again, you play in a dome. Like you said, the sides are open, but you play in a dome.
There's a
in
roof.
California.
There's a roof.
That is a dome.
In L.A.,
yes,
it's a dome.
That's a dome.
It's a roof in a,
in
does
LA.
It, a city.
Does it qualify
has,
as a dome? It should.
I think yeah. technically.
I would imagine it does.
It's not fully enclosed because, again, the sides are open, but, I mean, there's a roof.
Does it have retractable grass as well?
I don't know.
I think it's a turf.
Off the
actually.
Top of my head. I know Arizona has retractable grass.
Oh, yeah. They
it looks
make
like
sure
a cool
to tell you every time they play. It is really cool, but they make sure to tell you every time there's a game.
Literally
there. Hey,
every
did
time.
You know that grass comes from outside? I'm like, no way.
Really? I didn't
really?
Know this since
where
2006.
Where would it
yeah,
come from?
Yeah, right.
Again, I'm with you that normally I'd say weather should be a factor that you consider with this team and that quarterback, but I just don't think it's going to be something that matters tonight, unless the forecast changes. If we have any weathermen or yeah. meteorologists that want to call in and tell us that they see something on the Doppler coming up here. I look, you heard Will Campbell, who grew up in the heat, saying he wishes it was going to be colder. As someone
that Daniel shirt,
yeah, as someone that wants the Patriots to go on a deep playoff run, I agree. I would love for Gillette to become a home field advantage in every facet, whether it's weather, the team, the crowd. Like, you want all of that as a Patriots fan, but I just don't see it being a factor tonight, just given what we're walking outside in right now and what it's going to be like later.
And I think arm strength in a quarterback can be a little overrated, and you'll hear me talk about this at draft time where everyone falls in love with a strong arm. Like, it's important. Accuracy and decision making are much more important, but this is an environment where arm strength, I think, does matter. Like, with the wind, like Justin Herbert and Drake May, their arm strength is, I think, good enough to overcome the wind. If this was Mac Jones a couple of years ago, a few years ago, then I'd say, all right, maybe the wind will be a factor in the passing game there. But with a guy who has an arm as strong as Justin Herbert, I don't think it makes as big a difference. Same thing with Drake May. 617-779-7937 is the phone and the text number. Getting a lot of texts coming in. We'll get to those in just a second. But let's go to the phones here. David in the car, welcome into the program.
Hey, good morning, guys. So, obviously, we're all super excited. I'm super excited. I am going to the game tonight. But, you know, and I don't think the weather's going to be a factor at all. Oh, what I'm going to be honest with you guys. And it seems like a lot of fans, and I hope the Patriots aren't thinking like, this is not going to be a walk in the park. Anybody who thinks this game is going to be easy for the Patriots, already planning for the who's going to come here next weekend, we need to really focus that this is a tough team to play, the Chargers. They have a real good coach and coaches. They have good players. They have experienced players in the playoffs. We have a lot of players that haven't been there. And that plays a factor. As much as we don't think so, it plays a huge factor. And I hope that not only, obviously, the team, but fans, that you're prepared, that we are prepared, that this could be the end of a great season, that we can't take anything away from it. It was a great season. It was beyond what we expected. But I think if it turns out to be a loss this week and there's going to be some home upsets, and unfortunately, I have the feeling this is going to be one of them. We saw what happened yesterday. Green Bay was up 18 points in Chicago. Yes, they were home. It helped tremendously.
David, your phone cut out. Thanks for the call. But look, I have a tendency to agree with some of what he's saying there, and that I think the Patriots are going to win this game. But I think it's going to be more difficult than maybe on the surface it looks with the Chargers' injuries and the offensive line. I just think the Patriots' defensive line in the long run is going to be too much for the Chargers. But I think this is going to be a 24-14 or 24-17 type. Like, this is not – I would be surprised, guys, if this is some, like, 31-13 type game.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a blowout. But I – again, like I said a couple segments ago, the ingredients are there for the Patriots to win this game handedly. If the quarterback and the coach help elevate that, then we're talking about something completely different. But the Chargers have been dealing with a lot of injuries. They're coming on the road. They have their best running back banged up. They have a secondary that's weak against the deep ball, which Drake May is excellent at. All of these ingredients tell you that the Patriots should take care of business tonight. It's whether or not Justin Herbert is going to be able to put that Superman cape on and be one of those elite quarterbacks that all the football nerds tell you that he is, despite his bad record in big games. That will be the difference between if this is a close game or if it isn't.
David mentions the Packers there. I think the Chargers are more comparable to the Packers than the Patriots are. Like, the Packers were limping into the playoffs, just like the Chargers are here, which I think there's a comparison there. Aside, like, obviously the Chargers are, I mean, the Packers hosted yesterday. The Patriots are hosting today, but I think they are more comparable. I think people could be overlooking the Chargers, and mainly because of the injuries.
I think there's such an excitement of, like, oh, they're back in the playoffs.
Right.
And when you win 14 games, people don't think it's going to end in the wild card route. Like, just like naturally, like, you don't think that.
And it shouldn't.
And it shouldn't. But I think, again, this is the thing about this year's playoffs, and that in years past, that seven seed would be the Dolphins from a couple years ago who weren't that good, the Steelers before that who weren't that good. It was a team sneaking in. The AFC this year might not have a truly dominant team like years past, but I think it's more balanced. Where your six seed is a Buffalo team with arguably the best player in the world in Josh Allen. Your seven seed is a Chargers team that, yeah, they're banged up, but there's still a lot of talent there, and they still won 10 games. Like, it's a better bottom of the bracket than I think we've seen in years past as well.
But also looking at this game, just Patriots versus Chargers, the Patriots are the better team, which I think also plays into this. Like, yeah, they are the better team, and I think, but, you know, the line's a little deceiving because they are 3.5-point favorites, which is typically the norm when you're at home. You get 3 points when you're at home. But the Patriots are the better team in pretty much every skill group, position group, like, go roster by roster. They're the better team. So I think that also plays into it. Like, this is a game that they should win. You won 14 games. You're hosting a wild card. You probably shouldn't even be playing today, like, with the old format.
You wouldn't be.
If you want, if you, you know, hold on, if you don't turn the ball over five times against Pittsburgh, if you beat the Raiders, and obviously week one, weird things happen. Look at last year with the Patriots beating the Bengals. Like, weird things happen in week one. But if you win one of those games, and that's another thing, like, who would have thought, think after that Steelers game, we'd be talking about losses to the Raiders and the Steelers. A loss that you turn the ball over five times would keep you from getting the one seed. It's just crazy to look back at that. But, yeah, I mean, they probably shouldn't even be playing this week anyway. But, yeah, they should absolutely be playing there, and they are the better team. So I'd expect them fully to be playing next week.
And I think, again, this is a Chargers team. You look at just defensively, like, ninth in the league in points per game, fifth in yards, fifth against the pass, like, eighth in turnovers. They have the third most interceptions in the league with 19. Like, this is a good defense, and I know we think of Khalil Mack as a guy who's like 50 years old, still pretty good. Like, you know what I mean? And it's still a decent team up front. It's still a good secondary. Derwin James might be —
he's a monster —
the best overall player in this game for either team. Like, that's out, you know, again, May might win the MVP, but just as a pure football player, that dude might be the best player in this game. And I think that's part of this too, where it's not your traditional seven seed. Like, yes, I think the Patriots will win. Yes, I think the Chargers' offensive line is a big liability. But I would be very surprised, guys, if the Patriots go in and all of a sudden for four quarters are just marching the ball up and down the field and scoring touchdowns left and right.
That, I agree with you there. But the fact that the Chargers play zone, and
that helps,
the fact that the Patriots' offense under Josh McDaniels for X amount of years was so good at dicing up the zone, that makes me feel more confident that, you know, it's not going to be a route, but I think you're going to see some early possessions where the Patriots kind of march down. It's not going to be like week 18 against Miami, three plays, 70 yards, and you're in the end zone. But, like, look, and I know Steve in the car is more on my side of the tracks than David, who called in earlier this segment. I just think that the Patriots should take care of business today. I don't want to, like, leave them off the hook here. Like, yes, 14 wins after what they did last year is miraculous, and within the context of that, we shouldn't be disappointed, but they've reset the expectations. They're now the number two seed in the AFC, and they won 14 games. You should beat this team, and you should be playing in the AFC Championship in 2 weeks.
Speaking of Steve in the truck, let's go to him. Steve, you want to call and talk about tonight's game? Welcome in.
Good morning, Dylan. How are we doing today?
Good, good. What do you got for us?
Well, you know, I hate to throw shade on anybody, but Dave calls up all these shows. He's always on the Greg Hill show, and he's got the same shtick every time. He's a negative Nancy with these teams in the playoffs, especially with our teams, even though he's from here. Personally, I don't care how he thinks because I think he's way off. Now, I'm not a guy that's going to say the Patriots should be 17-0. They should have had another win on the docket. But here's what...
Oh, did we lose Steve, too?
And eliminate that first drive where you score a touchdown on them, okay? And I think the final score, I swear to God, from the hot now, I think this could end up being like a 31-17 game. I think they're going to be close in the first half, but I think Drake May and the team takes off in the second half a little more, and they wear them down a little bit with the running game, and then he opens up in the passing game, and he scores a couple of touchdowns maybe in the third or fourth quarter. That's why I personally think it's going to be a 14-point win. Now, I might be wrong. I've been wrong before, but I don't know. I got a strong feeling about this game. I don't trust Justin Herbert. I know he's going to give you one turnover. I know that. He does it all the time. So, I mean, that's my opinion. Hopefully I'm on right. So, and enjoy the game, guys. I really appreciate you taking my call.
Hey, Steve, thanks for the call. Thanks, and speaking Steve. Of Herbert, yeah, 13 interceptions in 16 games this year that he played.
Four last year in the postseason against Houston.
Yeah, and this kind of leads me to my next thing, because he talked about, hey, do the Patriots pull away here and as the game goes along? And is there an advantage one side or the other when you look at Jim Harbaugh, and you can include Jesse Minter to his DC, and then you have Mike Vrabel, you have Josh McDaniels, but you have Zach Kuhr, who I give Zach Kuhr a lot of credit, that even with some of their defensive ups and downs this year, the dude took over in week two, wasn't expecting to be the DC. Is there, though, even if you just look at Vrabel and Harbaugh, is there an advantage for either? Because a lot of those games we've talked about with the old times in the past, tomato cans, Patriots had a huge edge at quarterback and a huge edge at head coach. I don't think that's the case tonight.
Yeah, it's kind of a wash, right? Like, Jim Harbaugh has won everywhere he's been.
Yeah.
And Vrabel, other than those 2 years with Tennessee, showed that he could be a coach that wins in the postseason and builds a winning culture. And we saw him win 14 games this year. So, yeah, I think that's kind of a wash, John. And actually, we have a text here from the 413. They said, Derwin James is Ed Reed. Is that a fair comp
to you?
He's
not that good.
I don't think he's quite Ed Reed.
I think he's awesome. Like, Ed Reed might be the best free safety of all time. So it's like, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, I don't, but I think he might be the best player on the field tonight. And I think that's something Patriots got to be aware of.
So you think Derwin James is a better player than Drake May?
Just as a pure football player, at the very least, they're equals. Derwin James might be better. And again, different position, quarterback's more important. May could win the MVP. But, like, Derwin James is and has been one of the best defensive players and safeties in the league for 3, 4, 5 years now. Whatever it is, like, it's that's something I think for the Patriots to be aware of. Like, I think that Ravens game when the Patriots won, one of the big parts of that game, like, Kyle Hamilton was kind of in and out, wasn't fully healthy, right? Like, you're now playing maybe the best single defensive player you've played against all year. Like, Myles Garrett had a great game against them. He's probably the best defensive player they played against all year. I might put Derwin James, too. I mean, you guys correct me if I'm missing somebody, but, like,
I mean, Myles Garrett's definitely the best front seven guy. Derwin James is possibly
I think he's the best secondary guy.
Yeah, and I think Myles Garrett, okay, he's the best guy you've played against, and he, by the way, had a great game. You won,
Five sacks.
That's crazy, man.
Is Derwin James the second best defensive player you've played? I mean, again, I can't – I mean, if you want to throw Roquan Smith, Kyle Hamilton in there in the Ravens game, like, Benford in Buffalo is really good, but I don't know. Like, I – like, Dexter Lawrence on the Giants is awesome, but I'd probably still take Derwin James over him. It's one of those things. And then when you look at coach, is Jim Harbaugh the best coach they've gone against this year? Like, okay, they go against Mike Tomlin in week 3. Maybe you put Tomlin 1.
Harbaugh?
Yeah, that's our Harbaugh.
Stock
was the
down
first
on
one
the other.
Well,
but really,
I mean, is Jim Harbaugh the best coach that they have gone against? It's a real question.
McDermott?
I'd pick Jim Harbaugh over him.
Yeah.
They got Aaron Glenn twice.
Yeah, right. Mike McDaniel twice.
Pete Carroll, Super Bowl winning.
Right now,
coach.
I would take Harbaugh over him.
Tomlin?
I'd probably take Tomlin over Harbaugh.
Now I'm just rattling off.
No, but I really,
this isn't good radio. But
no, but it's an interesting point in that this might be the best head coach they've gone against all year. In my opinion, second best.
I mean, a couple of them have already been fired. Raheem Morris, Mike McDaniel, Carroll.
I mean, it all goes back to the easy schedule thing, right? Like Derwin James being the second or best defensive player you've played, Jim Harbaugh being the best or among the best coaches you've played. It's because you haven't played that many good teams. When you're playing bad teams, it's going to be filled with bad players and bad coaches. So, again, it goes back to this Patriots team ate on bad teams all season long. That's why they have 14 wins. It's not the only reason they have 14 wins. But now they need to actually go on a run here against teams that are better to truly prove themselves as a worthy champion, right? Like, if you go out and you win the Super Bowl, you're worthy. Like, I think back to the Celtics in 24. There's people that are like, well, you know, it's the easiest run to a title of all time. It's like, okay.
Nobody talks about that anymore, by the way.
You're right. They won like 80 and 20,
they were the best
guys.
Best team in basketball the entire year.
Wire to wire, right. Best
and
team
I think
in basketball.
Two things on that. A, they kicked the Mavericks' ass. But B, what people saw Indiana do the next year going to the finals.
Yeah.
I also think changed that conversation.
It should.
Yeah.
But regardless, like, you win the title, you're bona fide. So go out and go on a run here to shut people up, and then you're going into next season as a team that people believe in, as opposed to, well, they won 14 games, and then they got bounced in the first round. So are they going to even make the playoffs next year? Now they have a first-place schedule. It's like you could shut a lot of people up here if you win the next two weekends.
Just real quick, the caller said earlier, Justin Herbert's going to give a turnover. Minus 120 to throw an interception today.
Really?
I think I kind of like that.
That's tasty. Interesting.
I like that.
Interesting. Let's take one more call before the break. Jason in Maine. Jason, welcome in. What do you got for us?
Hey, I got a couple quick points real quick. One, this game is going to be a lot easier than people think. That offensive line for the Chargers is horrible. The defense is going to feast on them. Our running backs are too big. I know Chargers have a good front seven, but it's just going to wear them down, especially in the cold and in the second half. And the second point on the Red Sox, real quick, is, you know, Sam Kennedy was on this station yesterday morning with the typical bi-monthly lip service. Oh, we're trying to sign free agents. We're putting in money. We're doing this and we're doing that. And yet again, here we go. When are people going to wake up and realize that this ownership group absolutely does not care anymore? They care about filling the stands, and that is it. And they're just going to do it, and they're going to appease the visiting teams, and they don't really care about the home teams. And Henry needs to sell this team because I'm over it. Y'all have a great day. Thank you.
Jason, appreciate the call. And we are going to get more into the Alex Bregman stuff in a little bit. But coming up next, I want to take a quick break because you guys are both at the Celtics game last night. And I think, first of all, it was a great game.
But fun one, yeah.
The way that game ended, I think, told us something about maybe the rest of the year for the Celtics, how they might approach some things at the trade deadline, what they really might look like going forward. So we're going to talk a little bit, we're going to sneak in, because of course Justin Turpin's here, but we're going to sneak in a little bit of Celtics talk. We're going to get to Bregman again, and then we're going to hammer this Patriots-Chargers game tonight. We've got a lot of stuff coming up about that, so we'll be right back here on WEEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back here on WEEI. We've been talking Patriots most of the morning and Alex Bregman going to the Cubs. But I want to take a little five-minute break here because Celtics lose last night 195 to the Spurs in what I thought was a quasi-mini playoff game environment, you will. You guys are both there.
It was electric.
And one thing that really stood out to me in this game, and I think it's something we've kind of alluded to and we've talked about as Celtics fans, and you guys, people cover the Celtics, key point for me in this game, Spurs closed this game with a double big lineup with Victor Wembanyama and Luke Kornet, old friend. Only time in the game they deployed at the final 250 of the game, they outscore the Celtics 12-4 to win 195. Celtics had a 91-88 lead when those guys came in. And I think this was another example where if the Celtics are going to go deep in the playoffs, like I think we think they can, they're missing a big. Like the Celt, when the, and look, Wembanyama is an alien. I'm not, some of those shots he made late were freaking nuts.
Yeah, he took over that game.
But just, they didn't have that extra body when the Spurs went double big to match up with it.
Yeah, and that's, we knew this was going to be an issue. Brad Stevens knew it coming into the year. I remember it was right, I think it was right before media day, he was asked about the front court and just what we were looking at in that sense. And he's like, we're going to find out. And they've gotten a lot more out of Miyash Keita than they thought they probably would have. Even Luka Garza, since he's been reinserted to the rotation on December 20th against the Raptors, he's been great. But they need another big, and that's clearly an issue for them. And to that point, too, I think the clutch is starting to become a troublesome trend that's worth monitoring. They're down at 8-11 in clutch games right now. Their defensive rating in the clutch is dead last. And a lot of that's because the first shot defense is great. They can't get the rebounds because they don't have the bigs. John and I were talking about it off air. The Jazz game, you lose because you can't get a late rebound. Last night, Luke Kornet had a big one late. I think a lot of that is to do with the big, but also Jason Tatum helps that. Jason Tatum is the best rebounder on the Celtics. He was last year, and that's a team that had 3 7-footers last year that were playing often. Jason Tatum was their best rebounder. He's one of the best at his position. So I think he shores up a lot of that. But yeah, they're definitely missing a big. And that was a problem they knew they'd have, but that hole is being very highlighted recently.
So a lot of what I do at WEEI is helping with socials and posting from live events and things like that. And so a lot of what we were doing last night from the Celtics game was posting Luke Kornet content.
Sick and, brag, bro.
Which is funny to say. So we're posting a lot of Luke stuff, and we're looking at the comments and the replies, and a lot of it is like, why didn't we bring Kornet back? Or like, yeah, he should still be here. Like, oh, imagine if we had Kornet right now. So, Terp, I'll throw it to you on this. Why isn't he here? And I know a lot of that is contractual, and a lot of fans do have a good grasp on that, but I think it's important to remind fans why they don't have a depth piece like Kornet, like they've had in the last few years, given what he was able to make on the open market and what the Celtics were able to spend.
Yeah, you said it's contractual. It's the second apron. Like, they weren't going to be able to match the, what was it, $40 million that San Antonio gave to him. Like, that's just, that's the position they were in. And it was a tough kind of transition year there that he was up for a contract that year. Because if this is next year, I think the Celtics probably could have afforded that. They probably could have kept him around. But it just so happened to fall, all of it at once, when the second apron's coming down. And I think people do have a good grasp on it locally. But it is tough because the Celtics are the first team that we've seen tore down to the studs by the second apron. It's a newer thing. No other team has really gone through it yet. And to see Drew Holiday, Al Horford, Kristaps Porzingis, Luke Kornet, all these gone in the same offseason, it's kind of tough to stomach, especially when you're kind of ground zero for the second apron.
And I think just to that point, too, Spurs, 19 second chance points last night. Like, if you have a Kornet still there, another big, maybe they don't have 19 second chance points. So I think that added to it, too. And I think, yeah, it's just something that as they get towards the trade deadline, because we've seen, look, Luka Garza has had some, I think he's been much better the past month. You mentioned it since December 20th.
Shooting over 50% from three.
Is that still a guy, though, that's going to have big-time playoff minutes if they have to go double big? So
He's still a defensive liability.
And, like, Boucher is not the guy. So you have Keita.
Is Boucher even on the team still?
Right? So you have Keita. And, yeah, when Tatum comes back, he's, you know, arguably your best rebounder. He's going to help a lot. But do you really want to rely on him as he's coming back to be not just your best player, but also your key rebound? Like, you're still missing that guy as you approach the trade. And I think we've seen, like, they've beaten Cleveland this year. They've beaten Detroit. They've beaten the Knicks. But when they played Houston, rebounding was a huge issue and they got killed.
Yep.
When they played San Antonio, in key spots, second chance points and rebounding was a problem. And they lose the game. Like, when you play some of these higher end teams, and if you, and pipe dream, not pipe dream, but, you know, maybe pipe dream, you get to the NBA final, you're going to need another big, and they just don't have it right
and
now.
And you mentioned the second chance points, 7 of those in the fourth quarter.
There you go.
The Celtics scored 20 total.
Yeah.
That's not good. That's losing basketball. And you mentioned the big. I think it's kind of, they're walking a tight line here because you want to, we all believe that this team has the makings of possibly making a run. The Eastern Conference, it's very similar to the Patriots conversation.
Totally.
It's wide open. But with the Celtics, you have to understand that, like, they're not in the position this year
to give up assets for the future to make a run this year. That's just not where they're at. So if you can do both, where you can make a move that adds to the team now, but also can contribute in the future, that sets you up for the future, you do it. But you're not going to be selling off assets to make a rental piece to make a run this year. Like, and the reality is, you're not getting anyone at the trade deadline that's better than Jason Tatum. So much like the Red Sox have kind of fallen back on like the in-house trade deadline, they did it with Chris Sale and all those guys years ago. That's kind of the route the Celtics have to take because they're not in the position right now to sell off future assets to make a run this year. It's all about getting back Jason Tatum. That's the number one goal and seeing what this team looks like with him. Like with Anthony Simons, for example, I'd love to see what he looks like with Jason Tatum. A guy that can space the floor like that, a microwave scorer that's going to create space for Tatum, that's going to be fun to watch. And he's buying in defensively. So I think looking at him, like, is it worth trading him at the deadline? Like, if you can get a big, maybe it is. But, like, if it's somebody that doesn't really move the needle, I wouldn't move Simons. And I also don't think it's crazy to think you can get Simons back at the mid-level next year, right around $14 million, and he can make a bigger impact than you think, especially with Tatum. So they're in a really tight spot here where people want them to add, but what they can do is kind of limited.
So I know we got to get to a break here, but before we do, I saw Chris Mannix throw out Robert Williams,
Time Lord. That would be awesome.
And Zubac, who I think is one of the more underrated centers in the league, as two guys that the Celtics might be eyeing, and obviously both help you tremendously. But I wanted to throw both of those names to you, Terp, before we go to break. Which ones are realistic? Which one would you prefer? How does that all fit as we move forward here towards the trade deadline?
I'll say this. When there's smoke, there's fire, and there's a lot around Zubac right now. Yeah. And that would be a lot of fun. But I just – Clippers are playing better recently, and they don't have a pick until like 2031. So they have no incentive to start selling off their – unless they can restock the cupboard that way. But in terms of like tanking and selling off guys, there's really no incentive. Like, this is the team that they have. They're not – there's no help on the way. So unless they can restock the cupboard, I think the price for Zoo would be a little bit too high, too rich for the Celtics, just where they're at. But, I mean, the Robert Williams thing, he hasn't been able to stay healthy, so you're kind of taking a – I think the Celtics fans have a kind of an attachment to former players. We saw it with Isaiah Thomas for years, right? It's like, oh, why can't we bring Isaiah Thomas back? Like, give him a shot. I think it's kind of similar with Robert Williams. Like, it'd be a fun story, but – how much is he actually going to be on the floor and contributing? When he's on the floor, man, he is a good basketball player. Problem is, he got to be on the floor to make an impact.
Trade for him and put him in bubble wrap until May.
Until May. How awesome
way
would
to
that
go.
Be?
We're going to continue here on WEI. We're done with our Celtics. I told you we would sneak in a few Celtics minutes here. But we got to get to more on this Patriots game later. But Alex Bregman. Red Sox lose him. He goes to the Cubs. 5-year deal. This happened late last night, if you did not hear the news. We're going to get into that and some more Patriots coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.